Well, it could be the lady in the psych ward many, many years ago. Well, actually, a young lady. There she was, plotting and planning to commit suicide. She was supposed to put gas all over her and light herself in the writings that she was doing in the psych ward. It was all about doing a ritual of the flames to demonstrate and prove her love for her mother. Now, her mother was what is called a mother of darkness. Dark, deep into the brotherhood, a satanic priestess. Multiple subpersonalities deep into the ancient languages. Understanding the powers of darkness. Summoning, sending, using. But it's her own daughter that was used again and again and again. So the little girl, the young lady in the psych ward, I was called to go meet her, so I did. Now listen, she may be listening tonight. That was about 20 years ago. But it was an engagement with a human life that had been harmed, that was in need of repair. This week we're doing a series on Homo sapiens, humans in search of significance. We are looking at the issue of pain and brokenness, and that there's something wrong genetically, something wrong in our behavior, something wrong that bleeds into all of our politics and economics, in all of what we do. We wreck the environment. We wreck our relationships. We wreck our own lives at times. There's another story of a man, a veteran of war, but he was having some hard times. I got the phone call. When I showed up, he stood there at the other side of the table with two butcher knives, slamming them into the table again and again and again, demonstrating his anger. Now, that was after he kicked his wife in the head, threw the telephone through the front picture window, and the anger and the hurt, you know where it all came from? Rejection. There's the runaway sitting on the side of the street as I walk by, pointing up at me and saying, "Sir, sir, are you a Christian? Can you tell my boyfriend about Jesus?" And then there's the little girl that gets abducted. There's a little girl in our area where a man in the Kent area of Ohio sought to pick up an 8-year-old girl. Someone needs to cut the legs out of that. There's a lady on the bridge. She's going to jump over. Her boyfriend rejected her and told her that was the end. And so she left the bar and hung over the edge. Now, I told you about this. And after all these years of ministry, I can tell you story after story after story after story. How about the teenager that did not know how to repair his issues, repair his relationships, repair anything, and here's what occurs. You know what happens? What happens is he goes home after school, and he ties a rope around his neck in the garage, kicks the chair out, and he hung himself. He was 18 years old, and it was his junior high school brother coming home later that finds his dead brother hanging. I remember in doing the funeral, I remember in profiling his life and seeing that really he did not have that big of trouble and problem, but he had no out. He had no hope. He had nowhere to go. He had nothing. It was all bottled up. All the repairs, all the needs, all the fix was jammed up in him, and he had nowhere to go, no way to find an answer. Now, as his little brother, a month later, I get the phone call. He says he sees his dead brother walking down the hallway. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? Is his spirit around? What's this life all about? Now, that's what the series is this week. October the 7th, a Thursday night. We're in the hour, 6 to 7 o'clock. It's providential. It's supernatural. And there is amazing hope for everyone listening live right now, or even in the archives later. God is real. Christ has conquered the grave and offers grace and mercy. May God grant you that today. The theme for the week off the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Homo sapiens, humanity, humans In Search of Significance. Tonight, Thursday night, the title, Homo Sapiens in Need of Repair. What the heck is wrong with us? Genetics, good and bad, right and wrong, genetic morality. Is it mind control or gene splicing that changes or controls what is coming? Listen, I want to welcome you tonight. The voice, this is Russ Izdar, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net on the website. Listen, if you're brand new to The Voice, go to the website. All the information's there. Hundreds and hundreds of other downloads, all kinds of materials. If you ever miss a live show on this 6 to 7 o'clock hour, Monday through Friday, don't forget the archives are all up during the week directly from the radio station, or we also carry links for the daily show. Last night we had the Ragged Edge, the 7 to 8 o'clock extra hour on, and you can still get that. Again, just clicking on. We're looking also at the daily and weekly updates. We've just started to redo the Ragged Edge blog. It's my blog, Russ Izdar. And top left-hand corner of the shatterthedarkness.net, we'll be putting up one or two blogs per week concerning the issues of the day. And you can take a look at that if you'd like to and connect with it and have it sent to you. We'll have the newsletter for October out real soon, giving you updates of the conference, maybe some pictures, and what's coming next on the event calendar. Take a look at the daily stuff. We're going to have we're going to have a training. A lot of individuals have asked, can you do a training on the simplicities or the basics of deliverance? And so we're going to do that. We have a lot of projects in the mix, and we have some broken links on a couple of courses that we are working on and trying to recover all of the MP3s. So hang on. We'll get all those fixed again. Let me tell you about some news quickly, and then I've got an alert for everybody. I was reading again, and this tells me again about the issues we're talking about tonight. You know, that humanity is in need of repair. Something is wrong with us. Well, I'm looking at Hungary. The toxic red sludge has reached the Danube. Now, this toxic overflow is going to infect and affect millions of lives. Other nations are running now to check their own rivers and creeks downstream to see if their waters have been polluted. And that's one of the top stories going on around the world right now. There's, you know, a toxic spill. There can be, you know, so many things that are going on. Mistakes. It is an imperfect world, really is, absolutely. Now, I was reading about the Southern Baptist leader, the president of the convention, really coming to that denomination and telling them that yoga is not Christianity, which is a true, you know, statement. And he's getting some flack for that, and I'm seeing a picture here of a lady doing a yoga pose in a Baptist church. Let me say to all the Baptists out there, listen, all those that are going to be believers and know the Spirit of God, this is the time to realize the vast ramping up and the difference. Doing yoga, every single stretch involves, it involves a dedication to a god or goddess. A Hindu god or goddess. The Hindu spirituality, the finite spirits that have developed behind all of the, well, the pantheistic view of all is one, all is God, and the hundreds, well, literally millions upon millions of named gods and goddesses. And the lives of millions are bound by giving worship to and offerings to and hope that these demon gods will somehow help them. So yoga involves worship to. So there's other exercises that can be done. Get rid of the yoga. I noticed in a church we visited that they also were going to offer a yoga class. We immediately wrote to them, and we didn't see the advertisement of it any longer. But listen, exercise, yes. Yoga, no. If it involves opening doors to the spirits, let's take another look at some other things going on. I I look at the news today and I was like, wow, this involves, again, what we're talking about. I'm looking at at one of the news articles that came out today. 72,000 stimulus payments, you know, all the stimulus money. And so the money's going out to help people. 72,000 of those payments went to dead people. Talk about seeing dead people. Well, there are those who are criminal. There are those that don't know how to get money any other way. And so they go out and they get dead people's names and Social Security's numbers, and they put themselves out and they get the checks. And so where did all the tax monies go? Well, some of it, 72,000. That's why you got to be involved. You got to keep your eyes, and we've got to be putting out our prayers fiercely in this nation right now. Well, again, you can look through. I'm reading about U.S. military deaths in Afghanistan. Well, it stands at 1,219. Listen, prayers for the soldiers anywhere listening in the world right now. May God grip you. May the Prince of Peace really speak into your life, cover your life, deliver you from the oppression of the lands that you are in, and minister to your life. Listen, call out to Him, the living Christ. Wherever you're at, can be in the midst of, in the middle of sitting in an Abrams tank. It can be, a tent in the desert. It can be a sand side area. Wherever it's at, whosoever calls on the name of the living Christ. I'm going to tell you about Him more at the end of this, and what He did on that cross and how it affects the five elements of imperfection. We're going to deal with the psychological, the social, the global. We're going to deal with the body and the soul. Five things tonight. And again, if you're coming in right now, listen, welcome, shatterthedarkness.net. This is the Shatter Live broadcast, 6 to 7 p.m., Mondays through Friday. And we're glad to be here, glad to have those who have supported the program. And listen, if some of you have written about how do you support, and the overall project, the overall work that we do, the best I can tell you, go to shatterthedarkness.net, because we don't have product commercials. We don't have products for sale. So we would invite your support. Just simply go to shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down a little bit. Next to the archives tab is a support tab. That's all. And you take it from there. And again, we want to welcome everybody coming in. Want to say welcome to all those in dozens and dozens of countries all over the world. I want you to know that as we know you are downloading the archives later and listening later on, that we are also actually praying over every single nation, those cities and places where these downloads are going, actually for you, directly for you. Like in Acts chapter 4, that God would stretch out His hand. Well, we pray that God will stretch out His hand to save and to heal and to deliver, to encourage and to be with you. We know that He can do that right now. And we know that if you're listening right now, it may be a very, again, providential moment. Now, the title for tonight, in the midst of this week-long theme of humans in search of significance. And we're dealing with the concepts of transhumanism and all of the fixes that are going on out there. Because I'm going to read to you one more time one of the books, and I love reading. I love getting engaging all this and keeping an eye on everything and trying to once again look what it is. This is from the Immortality Institute back in 2004, The Scientific Conquest of Death. Essays on Infinite Lifespans. Did you hear that? Infinite. Now, this is, again, the scientific approach to, finding, conquering death and giving life. I want you to hear, again, some of the introductory, the table of contents, because of the search in science, in biology, in genetic research, physicists and others. Now, the weird thing is, to my left over here, there is, I've got a book, an e-book that I had bought, and I'm looking down on part of the page, and it said quantum physics. But it's more than quantum physics in the sense of just, well, science. I'm looking at a part right here. It says biokinesis or biological kinesis, the metaphysical manipulation of biological organisms. Let me read you a quote. Biokinesis is the metaphysical manipulation of organic and biological matter, such as people, animals, plantation, bacteria, etc. Biokinesis includes biological, chemical, and genetic altering and enhancement manipulation from pigmentation to forcing cell division. Do you get that? We're looking at somebody combining psychic abilities, non-human enhancements, with quantum physics. They're calling this biokinesis. They're saying that, because listen, this is part of our topic this week, philosophy, psychology, sociology, all of this, theology, metaphysics. And that's what I'm going to say right now, that so much of this science is moving and maybe even had its inception out of the metaphysical search, out of the non-human or spirit initiated search. Here again, I quote, biokinesis is the metaphysical manipulation of organic and biological matter, such as people, animals, plantation, bacteria, etc. Biokinesis includes biological, chemical, and genetic alteration and enhancement manipulation from pigmentation, now listen to this, to forcing cell division. It's, does this tell us that what they're searching for in a quote, scientific way, a psychic way, is this literally the concept of morphing, a metamorphosis? A kind of metaphysical approach, a combination of science and spirit. I'm going to tell you right now that in the combination of science and spirit that involves the altering of humanity and repairing humanity outside of what God has done, let me tell you something, in every case I've found so far, it's not the Spirit of God, not the spirituality that flows out of heaven, but it's the finite spirits involved in, in enhancing humanity for the sake of gripping humanity, engaging humanity, finding doorways into lives, into politics, into economics, into science and physics. It's part of their pursuit in the end of days. It's part of their offer for humanity. So the book that I have, Redesigning Humans by Gregory Stock, it's all about the issue, something's wrong. And it's all about a fix. Now, this other book I told you about a few minutes ago, here's some of the table of contents again. Biological immortality. It's a chapter. Each one of these are chapters where scientists, PhDs, they're all looking for fixing humanity on numerous levels and in a kind of, a variety of ways. Now listen to this. Biological immortality. The war on aging, number two. Number three, the chapter three, this is it. The dream of elixir of life. How about number four, therapeutic cloning? What about number five, nanomedicine? Machines repairing your liver, machines repairing your heart valves. Where are they going to go? Who's going to command them? Who gives them their assignments? Nanotechnology. Listen, Jeffrey Ratt at the Lookup Fellowship did a great session at the conference this weekend on this subject. He believes that a lot of it involves end-of-day stuff. How about the human body version 2.0? Now, that's what Tom Horn has mentioned a lot. How about progress towards cyber immortality? What about progress towards downloading your soul, your consciousness, as they call it, into the World Wide Web? Wonder if the webbot spiders could detect that. How about this next chapter? Will robots inherit the Earth? In reference to AI, artificial intelligence. Can we build machines that learn and learn on their own and learn more until they outlearn us? Until they become smarter? Until it's the attack of the machines? So will robots, that's a really good subject. It's really a good subject. It's kind of cutting edge. What about the next one? Medical time travel. What about the next one? Super longevity without overpopulation. So if everybody gets immortality, pretty soon we have 10 billion, 20 billion. How many people can the Earth hold? Or will we have to start shipping people off into outer space? Or maybe it's a voluntary dying. There's a lot of things to consider here, isn't there? What about the next chapter, emancipation from death? That's what a lot of this book is all about. So what a lot of the genetic research is all about. Conquering death. Conquering diseases, understandable. I mean, people want to conquer disease. But what are the ethics? What are the motivations? Is it money motivation? I mean, listen, if there are those rich folks that can purchase gene splicing to give them longevity and others can't, well, it's all about, again, who's got the money, who can do this. But if the goal is the kind of angst, 9/11 angst of those who are getting older and older, some older lab technicians, older biologists, and older geneticists somehow trying to find the elixir of life, well, it's all about trying to repair humanity. It's all about trying to fix. And I'm going to give you five of the areas that all of this deals with that, listen, that you are involved with, that I am involved with. It's philosophical, it's psychological, it's sociological, it's deeply now ingrained in quantum physics, genetics, gene splicing, artificial intelligence, all of this, cloning, all of it. All of this because humanity is not perfect. Can I say this without you getting too angry with me? You're not a perfect person. Your body is not perfect. Your physical body, something, listen, inside the clock is ticking. And you know it more the older you get. Listen, when you're 19, when you're in your mid-20s, you don't think about this. You think that 50 and 60 is like a million years away, but it's not. What's happening in the bodies of the 50 and 60 and 70-year-olds is still happening in the bodies of the 20-year-olds. We're just at a different season. There's a movement towards the physical body aging, breaking down. Listen, I prayed for different people at the conference. One of those individuals, we were asked to come and pray, and Reverend L prayed, and everybody prayed for Chris. And he has a lung cancer. And so they stopped the conference to pray for Chris. His mother came to me later, brought me to tears, absolutely brought me to tears in her discussion. And so I just prayed for her and hugged her. Then there was a dear friend, a brother in Christ that helped get this whole conference going, and some cancer going on there and some prayers for him. Listen, that's what prayer is about. Some people don't have a prayer. They don't know who to talk to. And so there's a search in every direction for an out, for a fix. Can biokinesis, a metaphysical manipulation of organic and biological matter, such as people, can there be an alteration genetically? Can there be an enhancement, a manipulation, even forcing, listen now, forcing cell division? All kinds of things in every single direction that deals with, well, these issues. And it's all about you. If I ask you right now, how are you doing? Does somebody really care? Listen, sitting behind this mic, it's a different thing than being in front of an individual. But I know and I feel the compassion of this living Christ. 2,000 years ago, it's not over. All around the world where the message is heard from God, individuals, doesn't matter, Chinese, Russian, Swahili, wherever in all the world, people can come to know God. They can feel the power of His healing, the power of His grace, and the indwelling, released gift of indestructible, irrevocable, immortality. So I'm really praying that on Friday night when we do this big discussion, this big, we're going to be really expounding the theology of immortality from the top down, from how heaven has unleashed, how the immortal God has... this is about the science of God. It's about the physics of God. Please understand, this goes beyond the deepest searches in science. Just because science can't put this under their belt, pull God's finger into the super collider, just because they can't make God bow down and say, by our method, by our scientific inquiry, by our controlled experimentation, we want to put God under that kind of controlled experimentation. But that's the sad part. If He can't do it, it's not that God's not there. It's not that God's not answering. It's that there's an imperfection. There is clearly a limitation in empirical science. Even when they feel they're at the edge of the origins of all creation, have they really gotten back that far? Will they be able to reach out in and beyond the material existence, grab God, pull Him down onto the research table? See, I'm afraid that, again, those who do not know, those who do not understand, they would love to dissect God. In all of that, there is that, again, the need of repair. We don't know the awe of God, the depth of God. Just because, listen, when we talk about knowing God, God providing a way of personal engagement, and listen, this is the physics of God. This is the way of God. Are there physics behind the miraculous, the miracle? Yes. Do I have dwelling within me the gift of immortality, the gift of eternal life? Yes. Do I know I'm going to go? Yes. Do I know that I will have that body? Yes. I know it as well as I know Jesus right now, as well as I know His love, power, grace, and might. And it's the only reason I'm here. There's no need for me to discuss these issues if there's really no answers. And when somebody does not have the answers, they will search in every single direction. Or they'll blind themselves and preoccupy themselves with drugs and alcohol and whatever else. As the towers of this world are burning and falling to the ground, humanity is running. With the angst, with the fear and the dread, something horrific is about to fall. Let me give you, in this series, on a Thursday night, the five elements of the issues of humanity in need of repair. The broken elements of humanity. Number one, psychological. It is about the self. It is about self-doubt. It is about self-hatred. hatred. It is about seeking significance. It is about people that promote themselves and they're braggadocious and they're loud. It is about people that are shy and quiet. It is about the homebound, the disabled. It is about the workaholic. It is about the relationships and the sex and divorce, and it's about rejection and acceptance. Can I ask you something? Are you satisfied with yourself? You, there you are. This is, you know, looking at the mirror. Well, I look at the mirror and I see what I look like now. But I have memory. I have memory of over 40 years ago looking in a mirror at our home where I was born and brought into that life. And my brothers, you know, were there, and my sister. And you know what? Looking into the mirror as a little kid getting ready to go to grade school, I can remember that mirror right there going outside of the side door in our old home in Akron, Ohio. Looking at myself in the context of my family. And again, just a kid growing up learning the ABCs. But even then, having some... See, I wasn't raised in any church. I wasn't raised with any concept of God. I went to the Croatian Club on Sundays with my dad and my grandfather. As they got drunk, I took their quarters off the bar and bought potato chips and played those little games they had in the corner, the shuffleboard and the bowling ball and the pinball machines. Then I drove home with my drunk dad. And we had the big family spaghetti dinner on Sunday. It's about ourselves. It's about you. It's about your life. It's about the value. See, I begin with this issue. Now that I know that God loves, that God created, that God made us, that we did fall, that there is redemption. Now that I know the value that God places upon us, the love of God, now that I have felt and experienced this love for all these years, an anticipation for a deeper and broader experience of that love, especially when I see God face to face. When Russ Dizdar sees God face to face, there's no other Russ in all the world. There's just me, this individual. Out of billions of individuals, you are the only one of you. God knows your name. I used to say on the Ragged Edge show Sunday nights that we did, three things that I absolutely know for certain. God loves you. God knows you. And God wants you. There's nobody that wants you more. So the psychological issue, I mean, listen, the psych wards are packed. I've been to the psych ward. I've been to the psych ward, I don't know, probably 200, maybe 300 times. Never as a patient, never as a client, but always visiting. Visiting those who have been damaged, visiting those who have been afflicted, visiting those who were in search of a fix. Is it Thorazine? Is it psychological counseling that is steeped in Freud or Jung or B.F. Skinner? Why does the psychologist even have self-doubt, self-hate, depression, feelings of rejection, wanting to be accepted? You see, the world that we live in is abnormal and broken. It's not what we were meant to have. Do you remember Monday night when I dealt with the issue of soul sorrow? That inside we dream of the ideal. Everybody's accepted. Everybody's loved. Everything's perfect. We don't die. There's no war. There's no rape. There's no divorce. There is love. The ideal. But then we open our eyes and see the real. In my city, a young boy was killed. In my city, a little 8-year-old today was, they attempted to abduct her. Makes you want to take a baseball bat and stand on the corners looking for the guy. Or girl. Sometimes it's both. Something's wrong. Humanity's in need of repair on a behavioral level. Ahmadinejad, I mean, think about the leader of North Korea. Think about what's going on in the United States. Think about the political unrest, disgust. Think about anybody trusting politicians, media people, and bankers. Think about the, well, that's going to move into point number three, but let me just mention this. I'm reading yesterday again, Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, while he's in the spaceship looking down on the planet, thinking through all of the ills of humanity, literally that humanity is in need of great repair. He has an epiphany, a spiritual experience, because he's looking at creation and realizing that there is divine presence and creation pours forth speech. The difficulty with Ed Mitchell in a world in which there is a counterfeit spiritual project movement going on. Goal, deceive humanity. Goal, keep humanity from God. Goal, use humanity. Goal, rip humanity off. Without understanding that spiritual battle, it's very possible to fall into the pit and get stuck in a deep molasses of seduction, deception, and lethal counterfeit spirituality that will never take you to the dynamic relationship you could have with God. With God who pursues you, with God who wants you, with God who loves you. Oh, listen, the reason for the pursuit of God is that nothing God has moved. As the old sign says, if God seems far away, guess who moved? Humanity, we did. We did. If you want to talk about the genetic, the biological side, if you want to talk about all these disciplines, psychologically, we are broken. We are not the selves we were prior to Genesis 3. Now, we have the dream or the ideal, what we wish it could be, what we think it should be. We all agree there should be no injustice, except for the creeps who live it and use it. I think in terms of the 72,000 individuals that claimed some of the stimulus millions by taking the names of dead people, deceiving, and getting the money. What does that tell you about the system? Imperfection. In a fallen world, imperfection. In a fallen world where everything goes crazy, yet we want it to go right, well, when those two things clash inside, like I said Monday, soul sorrow, angst, dread, confusion, depression. And for some, it's suicide. Like the 18-year-old boy. He took the time to put clothesline wrapped around his neck, hang it onto the garage door rack, kick the chair. It's like the cheerleader back in senior. She was a senior in the school that I was working and doing ministry in. A boy had shot himself in the head, dead, gone, couldn't even have a visual of him in the casket. Emotionally overcome, not plotted suicide, but impulse suicide. She gives a pencil and a shirt to his sister, runs out, throws a rope over a tree limb, puts it around her neck, ties it all up, jumps off the family picnic table, but afterwards tried to put her fingers into the rope around her neck and get it off. She changed her mind, but it was too late. She couldn't scream. Nobody saw her. The cheerleader died hanging from a tree in the backyard of the family house. I remember doing that funeral. And it speaks about the issue humanity, Homo sapiens need repair. Psychologically, something's wrong. I'm going to tell you at the end that there is a peace, there is a grace, there is a mercy, there is a help. There is somebody that can lift the depression and lift the rejection and bring into our life a healing that we desperately need. Now, number two, this all moves to the social. This all moves from the individual to the person next to you, to your neighbor. Relationships with others. I mean, there's hate, there's suspicion, there's harm. Every night we lock our doors, I check our house. There's a reason for that. When you go through some areas of your city, do you lock your doors? What about the boy in Akron that got killed living in that inner city area? He was sitting in the car. It was going to be a drug deal probably. But they got to him, shot him in the back of the head. He's gone. And the person that did it, where is he at? Did he grab the few hundred bucks and a little bit of drugs? How long is that going to last? In our world, we have serial predators. It's been a big study of ours. Because of the issue of multiplicity and what we see in the underground, let me give you a quick alert. This is for October. This involves society, evil, and the issue of the need for repair. This is October. Coming up in a couple of days, October 13th all the way to the 30th, preparation for All Hallows Eve, Samhain, abduction, holding, and ceremony preparation for individuals of human sacrifice. October 28th, 30th, High Priest, holy day related to Halloween. You know what they say on here, the listing of the satanic calendar? Human sacrifice each day. October 30th, 31st, All Hallows Eve. Now, I know for some, it's all about candy. It's all about trick-or-treat. It's all about ghosts and goblins. It's all about Samhain. It's all about Jack, the headless, carrying the pumpkin. It's all about all kinds of stuff, but for the undergrounders, it is about ritual. It is about a high, dark holiday. It is about human sacrifice. It goes October 30th, 31st, All Hallows Eve. It is about sexual and demonic and human. It's all about blood sacrifice. You can look at it through the 13th all the way to the 31st. November the 1st. Satanist High and Holy Day, Human Sacrifice. All the way to November the 4th, Satanic Revels. Hey, just to throw that in as an alert on the level of our social development in the underworld. Now, every city in the United States has a victim of satanic ritual abuse, or a few thousands of them. That means there are covens. That means there has been bloodshed. That means that demons have been raised. What most Americans can't even conceive has been, is, and will go on all through this month. On the website, shatterthedarkness.net, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll find a series. It's got about 12, 13, 14 hours called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. You want to know how to detect dark rituals in your city? You want to know how to get to the victims? You want to know how to play a part in advancing the cause of the kingdom of God that is all about saving, healing, protecting, and guarding, and loving, and redeeming life? Well, there's a series that we've put up. It's all free. Social relationships. I'm talking right now to people that have been rejected by others, that have been harmed by others. Maybe I'm talking to individuals. You know the sin that you've committed. You know the harm that you've committed. The divorces, the use of other people, the misuse. Maybe even prisoners at some point, somewhere. By God's providence, we'll hear that the ultimate fix for the behavior of your life is the sinless Christ. He was never conquered by sin. He was never conquered by the code within the genetic core of humanity that pulsates with rebellion against God, that is the sin we do. Can I read you something else? Out of the book of Titus, chapter 3, starting verse 3, listen to the words of God. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. One verse describes the fact that mankind has psychological, self-oriented problem, social problem. Point number three tonight, global scale problem. Point number three, wars. Governments, injustice, threats. It seems like everything's going to hell in a handbag, doesn't it? It seems like everything's going down the river. It seems like what's coming to the Danube, the red toxic sludge. What's in the shadows? What's behind the behavior of global scale injustice, greed? What about shadow government, Illuminati, Antichrist, the end of days? What about the warning that Jesus Christ gives? What about the warning 3,000 years ago in the Psalms chapter 2? About the end of days, globally, the peoples, globally, the nations, globally, the kings. They're going to take their stand against God. They're going to take their stand against the visible return of Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, the one that will put an end to all of the evil, all the injustice, all of the hellishness, and bring about the age of peace. Listen, this is from the top down. Not the bottom up. Out of the heavens comes infinite grace to bring help to us. So I'm reading one verse of scripture out of Titus. Have you read this? Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Now it's talking to those who have been saved, those that know the love of God, those that know. I understand this verse. At one time. Listen, thousands of you right now may know this. You may be a believer. You may know Christ. And you may clearly understand this. I mean, absolutely clearly understand this. And that's good. At verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient. Listen to the words. Foolish. Disobedient. Deceived. Enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. That might describe someone right now. Lost without God in your heart and life. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved. It says we lived in malice. You know what malice is, right? Casting dark, sentences on someone else, making them look bad, trying to convince others that somebody's bad. It's all about our selfishness. It's all about evil that we do. It's all about getting people to reject others. It's all about self-promotion. It says we lived in malice and in envy. Somebody has a better car. Somebody has a better house. Somebody has a better wife. Somebody has better earrings. Somebody has better tennis shoes. So as a gangbanger, I will shoot him on the street and take his $70 tennis shoes are worth more to a gang banger than a human life. Look how far we have fallen. We do not understand the value of another human being when we level them. It says we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Don't just sit back and say you're the victim. Be honest, your sins are the victimizer of others. And so it's the geneticist, the scientist, the biologist, the search to change behavior. Well, that's the psychologist. That's the sociologist. That's the paddle you get in fifth grade. That's the taking away of your car by your parents. That's the statey pulling you over for going 90 into 65. Altering. Because behavior can get out of hand. Jeffrey Dahmer can kill people, cut them up, bury them, put them in his freezer, drill holes in their head, eat them, and go out and live among people and almost seem normal. But psychologically, sociologically, I mean, listen, this is on a global scale. You can talk about it in Russia. You can talk about it in Germany. You can talk about the guy that put out the ad that he wanted someone to come and eat him. He wanted to be cannibalized. The guy that did it was put in jail. It's messed up. It's like we say on the street, man, it's messed up. Let's look at the fourth thing. There's no question, number one, psychological. There's a damage. There's a need of repair from within. Number two, there's a need of repair in our relationships. Number three, there's a need of repair on a global scale. Number four, body, the physical body. In my right shoulder, I have two pins holding a tendon that were drilled into the bone. This was back when I was, gosh, about 18. You can see the scar. It's a big one. Back in those days, they just used a needle and thread to sew up the about a 6-inch so long, you know, incision. Another incision on my right side. They took a kidney away. It didn't work. It was born messed up. And they took it out. Now, that was years ago. I've never had a problem. I'm doing good. Pretty healthy overall, except for the fascia bone on the bottom of my left foot that has been injured and has caused me a world of trouble in these last 4 months. Your physical body can only take so much. You cannot go to a 10-story building, jump off, and land peacefully. The physical body cannot go 100 miles an hour in a car without a seatbelt and run straight into a brick wall. Our bodies can be burned. Our bodies can be damaged. We can be shot. We can be stabbed. We can get disease. We can get cancer. We can be crushed. We can grow old. Things just wear out. Our heart can give out. Our eyes can go. Our physical bodies, and that's what a lot of this search, in the search for significance biologically, genetically, in the world of science, somehow we know this body. Listen, so let's somehow alter, maybe like this one book that I'm looking at, Quantum Physics, and the ability of biokinesis in somehow affecting and changing cells in the body. Is there a way, kind of like an alchemy? Is there a counterfeit? Listen, the only one that ever spoke the words, and the words mean something, Lazarus dead, rotting in the tomb, Jesus Christ on the outside. Nobody else has ever said this. I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And then God in human flesh spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth by a command. There's physics behind that, my friends. There's a science behind that. It's just beyond your personal microscope. It's beyond the research of Stephen Hawking. He can't get to it, but it's there. It's there. Lazarus came out. The people were absolutely stunned. The Son of Man, well, he had power over death. Over death. He had the ability to cause eyes to see, lame people to walk, the crippled man's arm to be healed. He did it again and again and again and again. Now, I've seen some clear healing along the way, maybe not as much as I would have liked to over all these years, but I've seen some healing, my friends. I've seen God heal. Now, there's counterfeit all around us, and if you allow that side to heal you, it will bind you to that darkness and draw you from and seek to keep you from God who wants to redeem your life. Listen, the body has everything to do with the cross. Now, listen, number five is the soul, the spirit. It's about our separation from God. It's about coming down to the core of it all, because in Genesis 3, it is about the soul, the spirit, The Spirit of God left. We became spiritually dead to God, separated, and an invasion into the human construct occurred. The sin nature, the death code, that involves the psychological problem, the sociological problem, the issues on a global scale. You can see it in your body. You know what it says simply in the Word of God? The wages of sin is death. There is a fix for the soul. There is a fix for your being separated. Many of you already have it. The living Christ on the cross. Let me give you the four things quickly at the end of the show. Jesus on the cross. It was all about others, the world, the soul, and death. Number one, this is God, and he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for you. Number two, this is injustice. Christ, the sinless one, on the cross, pain, human evil, sin in sinners, and behind the scenes, the darkness, putting on the cross. Oh, God knew. I mean, listen, this is all known. God's ahead of all of it. God's ahead of the devil. God's ahead of man's sin. He's ahead of all the calculations. He's way beyond Webbot. God. Bible says his ways are beyond tracing out, and good thing is he loves us, and he makes his way known. He makes his will known, makes his love known. At that cross, sin, death, hell are being dealt with. For the Luciferians and the Satanists this month, there is a blood that has been shed willingly. God didn't ask for your blood. God didn't ask for the blood of other humans. God came in human flesh and, listen, his blood, the demons themselves, you know it. You know the demons fear this, the demons hate this, the demons blaspheme this. Hell is shaken by the blood of the sinless Lamb of God, the personal God that loves you, that came for you. The cross is about God's pursuit of you. He came for you. What are you running from? God summons you even now as I speak, the Spirit of God. God summons you even though I want you to know God. I want you to know the love of Christ. I want you to know the power of God. God wants it more. He wants you. And let me tell you number four here, the end. The cross, Christ, it involves ultimately, listen now, it involves the fix from the top down. Not from the research scientist's table. Not from the biokinesis, well, speculation. Not from the quantum physics psychic that seeks their own answer. This is God. This is God giving the answer. Gospel of John, read it out. See what God says. This is Rust Is Dar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. Good night.